Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
As we look at Christmas, and for us, we love to make and maximize holidays as much as we possibly can, and Christmas being one of those big time events. Yesterday, our Christmas got really exciting. Alyssa flew out with all three kids, loaded all of them up on an airplane, flew to Colorado to be with her family this past week, and then they went skiing in Wyoming and left me in Fairmount, Indiana. That's a Merry Christmas. On their way back, as they were getting ready to board the plane yesterday, the flight gets delayed an hour. And so we're like, okay, not a big deal. We'll still be there. And just an hour later, as she goes up to her terminal to check in, they say, oh my gosh, literally just now, your flight has been canceled. You cannot get home. Like, there's no way, there's no more flights that are leaving. The next flight that would be leaving from Denver to Indianapolis would be on Tuesday. No. Does that sound good?
No.
Y'all good with that idea? And
no.
Immediately tell me, like, the emotions, like, just ready to cry.
I immediately fought back tears, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we do this thing every Christmas Eve. We do this thing every Christmas. I'm not going to be home for Christmas. We're stuck in Colorado.
Yeah. And so she's like, I'm going to figure out a way. We are going to make this happen. This is just what we do. And so she gets online and on the phone and going to track down a rental car, a one-way, and going to drive across country to be here for Christmas morning. And so is hustling and calling, and I'm online, and we're looking for a car, and there is
nothing.
And so her parents come back, they pick her up, they take her out of the Denver airport area, and they're like, surely there's a car somewhere in Denver that we can rent. And after multiple places and multiple stops, at the last one, there was a car. Mm. And they get this car, load all three kids up, and boom, she takes off, and she's going to drive through the night so that she could be here this morning. There's something about, man, like, I want to be in Christmas. I want to be a part of Christmas. And I don't know who traveled the furthest this morning, but probably Alyssa and our three kids. They came from Denver to be here this morning by car.
Literally just rolled in.
Yep. They got here at 9 and changed and then come to lead worship at 10:30. Like, that's pretty cool stuff right there.
Thank you.
Yeah. But how many of y'all know it takes many people in order to pull off something pretty miraculous? Mm-hmm. And so it's getting her dad to help drive her around to all these places and make phone calls. It's all the kids having good attitudes. And how many of y'all know that can be a hard time just going from here to Walmart? and she drove like 17, 18 hours with all of the kids having good attitudes. I see my Uncle Ron and Aunt Teresa sitting back there, and my dad had a role in their Christmas Eve service last night, and Aunt Teresa says, I can do it. I'll handle it. So she steps up, takes my dad's role, so my mom and dad jump in their car, and they're going to go get them. They're going to go get Alyssa. So they drive to St. Louis, meet them around midnight, and the Calvary is here. We're going to help you get all the way home. And so she was able to rest. They had an extra driver, and they all make it back home this morning. It takes a village to raise a Meyer family. It takes all of us. It takes a lot of people. And as I think about the Christmas story, I think of how many things went into the birth of Jesus that was more than just the birth of Jesus. There was Joseph and him wrestling through, do I even really want to be a part of this thing? And do I just want to divorce this family and I'm out? And we see Mary, and Mary's wrestling through all these tension points. And man, am I sure that I really am the one for this? And this is a little bit overwhelming. I'm a little bit freaked out by this. We see the shepherds that are living in the fields and their engagement with it. We see Joseph, when he goes home, he never really even has a home, but that somebody else kind of lets them in, and there's so much that's happening around Christmas. Y'all kind of get caught up into the hustle and the bustle and the wrappings of Christmas. The Grinch, the professor, said it something like this. He said that we thought that Christmas was about the store, but perhaps Christmas is about so much more. And it really is, as his heart began to pivot and to change, it's more than just the hustle, the bustle, the time, and the presence. But there's a lot that was going on in order to get Jesus here for Christmas. We see in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Can I see my Bible real quick? And in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was, and He was with God in the beginning." When you look at the gospel story and how they introduce this man named Jesus, in these four different gospels, we see it goes something like this. Mark, he introduces his gospel, and he says it, he starts with John the Baptist, and Jesus is already at maturity. And then we see that Matthew, he starts with a genealogy, and he starts with Abraham. Then Luke comes in. Luke talks about like some pious Israelites, and he goes into the birth narrative, and then he does a genealogy that goes all the way back to Adam. And so it seems like they go back a little bit farther, John the Baptist, and then to Abraham, and then to Adam. And then John shows up to write his gospel story. And John, who probably is Jesus' best friend, or at least John thought he was Jesus' best friend, he says, "I'm the one that Jesus loves, right? I'm the guy." You ever thought that you were the best friend? Nobody ever told you. You probably still don't know that you're not. John thought that he was the man, like, "Man, Jesus loves me." And he doesn't even tell us the birth story. He doesn't even give us the Christmas story. And just when you think that your best friend forgot your birthday, John comes in with the best gift ever. And he goes, "I didn't go back to John the Baptist. I didn't go back to Abraham. I didn't even go back to Adam. I went back to Jesus eternal. Before time began," and he says, "in the beginning, it was the Word. It was the Word of God. And the Word was God. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." And then we drop down to verse 14. "The Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." One of the songs that we sang this morning said that He was full of grace and truth. Another one that I absolutely love, it said, "Joy to the World." And I thought, man, if there's ever been a moment where the world had something to celebrate, it's when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I don't know about you, but there's some times where that silent night just continues to go on and on and on. And rather than just having a silent night, what I really need is I need God to speak. God, I hate that I live in silence. I don't want You to be silent in Your voice anymore. Would You please begin to speak to me? And for it to go from a silent night into a holy night, where holy means that it's been set apart. It's something that's separated only for God. And so, God, I need a holy moment. I need a holy word from You. And so as we watched this video, there was multiple encounters with angels. And the angels were ascending and descending. And there were these moments where angels were breaking in on the scene, speaking words that would encourage people along the way. We're going to read three encounters where angels came down right before the birth of Jesus. They came and they visited with Mary. Then they visited with Joseph. And then they visited with the shepherds in the fields. And every time we see the very first words out of Mary's mouth was, "Ah!" And the first words out of Joseph's mouth was, "Ah!" Or maybe like, ugh. Or on the video, it's like, hmm. And the first words out of the shepherd's mouth is, what the heck is going on? And the first words out of the angel's mouth is, hey, don't freak out. Don't be afraid. I'm with you, and I just got a word that I want to share with you, to speak to you and to tell you where we're going and what the next step is. And I got a word to call you up as a man, as a father, to lead your home. I got a word to encourage you as a mama. It's the voice. It's the word eternal that has become flesh, that's dwelling amongst us. There's a voice of Christmas that is speaking, and it's speaking loud and clear. And I believe this morning, if the greatest gift that we could give to one another is not another tool set, it's not another shop vac, it's not another cute hat, although maybe, what if it was the voice? And I've been craving the voice. I need to have the word of God spoken to me clearly about this season of my life. And so we've got a few scriptures that we're going to read this morning. Starting in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26.
Okay. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
We're going to see that an angel appears to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And in Mary's response to hearing this word, it goes from freak out to faithful obedience. And saying, man, there's some things that God's calling me to that I'm a little bit nervous and I'm a little bit scared of. Anybody ever, you have God that says, hey, I want you to go talk to that person. Or I really want you to go and ask for forgiveness here. And you're like, I'm freaking out a little bit. I don't want to do that. And to where you just really bow and you bend, and you say, I'll be your faithful servant. God, you speak the word, and I will obey. Then we see Joseph is in this moment where he's having a freak out moment, and an angel comes and begins to speak to Joseph.
"Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Mm.
2 weeks ago, we talked about the fathers that had to step in and handle some big-time responsibilities. Whether it was as a stepfather, it was walking into a situation that maybe you didn't totally know what you were getting into. And more than just in fathering, we've all stepped into some situations that we didn't fully know what we were getting into. And maybe you're in a situation right now where you're like, oh man, to do anything to get out of this situation. And perhaps the way is not out, but the way is through. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when we close our service, we're going to ask God, would you give me a God word that you would dwell with me as I try to walk through this next season of life? And then finally, we see that the word came to the shepherds while they were out in the field in Luke chapter 2.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, cloths, and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Mm.
And so now we see these angels that show up, and it says that there is a company of heavenly hosts. Not just an angel, that there is a massive amount. And I don't know that it would fill all of Fairmount, but maybe. They're all out in the field. Let's just picture a massive, wide open space field. Not too hard here in this Madison and Grant County area. And they're living in these fields, and all of a sudden an angel is speaking, but then heavenly hosts begin to come down. And I can't imagine, like, the 4th of July stuff is like going, and heaven is invading earth, and angels ascending and descending. Stuff is going on. It wasn't so much of a silent night at that moment, but it did become a holy night. It was a night that was separated. It was a night that was marked by God for God, where there was nothing else that was going to grab their attention. This was the moment that stole the show. And so, whatever it is that we are going through, that we're walking through, man, we're just asking, God, would you just be faithful? Would you just have heaven invade earth? We need to hear the word, and we want the word that's made flesh to dwell among us. So we want to pray over our church family that there would be clear words that's spoken to you during this Christmas season, that there'd be a time where you just set apart. God, as we get together with family, we want this to be holy and separate for you. When we get together with friends, we want this to be holy and it's separated for you. When we get together, God, and we want to honor and celebrate you, and we're just going to ask that the voice of the Lord would speak to that situation where we've got some fear, we've got some trembling, we're kind of shaking in our pajamas, we're a little bit nervous, and he just wants to fill us, not only to bring calm, but to bring confidence. That would be an amazing Christmas gift. So this morning, church family, we're just, if we could, just pause just for a moment. We're just going to have just a quick little silence, just ask Jesus to speak into that situation that we're currently walking through. I'll ask Greg to come up. Oh, Greg's not here. You're going to do it. You're going to be our Greg. You go, girl. And as Alyssa plays, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit just to have that voice and to speak into our situation. Take that situation before him. What's he called you to do that you're a little bit nervous about? What are some things that he's put inside of your heart that we're just a little bit scared of? What are those things that maybe it just strikes some fear? Or, man, I am in over my head on this one. Jesus, I need you to dwell amongst us. I need you to be in this living room. I need you to be in this kitchen. Jesus, I need you to be in that boardroom right now. Jesus, I need you to show up in a big and a powerful way. And so, God, with hearts that are hungry, we come not seeking a baby in a manger or even a fat man in a chimney, but we are seeking this God King, the Word made flesh, the one that can move and shift, the one that has power over all. We're asking you this Christmas season to give us the gift of a breakthrough, of a word, of calm and confidence, and to strengthen your bride this morning. Church family, as we close this morning, would you all stand with me as we just pray a blessing upon you and upon your family. Jesus, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the power of this holiday. We thank you that you came, that you died, that you rose, and that you've lived so that we can live, and that you've died so that you can set us free, and that you've come alive so that you would have a bride to enjoy for all of eternity one day. And so, Jesus, we say happy birthday, and we love you and thank you for being the Word made flesh that came to dwell amongst us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Merry Christmas, church.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.